Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. CJ English and Hudson Lake are the guests on this very special tell-all show, the first ever interview with their new metalcore project. Hudson and CJ, how are y'all?
Good.
We're good.
So many secrets around this new project y'all have got going. I don't want to steal any of your thunder, so I'm going to let you tell us the name of the project and who is in it.
Yes, so the name of the project is
Morning Eve.
And so we have, of course, CJ in the band, who's still going to be the lead singer of the group. More so rhythm in this band, as to where with GFM, she was kind of lead guitar, really the only guitarist live. But she'll be more rhythm. And then we have Delaney Jaster, who is the drummer of the group.
Yes.
And she's really phenomenal. She's actually only 19, and she's been in a couple bands, and she's amazing. She's mainly done covers and a lot of stuff on Instagram and YouTube, but she's been in a few bands as well. And then we have Sean, who is going to actually be doing the screaming vocals in the band. And he sings as well, normally melodically really well, and harmonizes good with CJ. So he'll do both. He'll just be vocals in general within the group. Me, Hudson, I'm going to be playing bass and doing some guitar stuff as well within the group with tracking and even some songs live. And then we have NORAD, who is the lead guitarist, and he's kind of the anonymous figure of the group, and nobody knows who he is, and probably no one ever will know who he is. So he's amazing, a really amazing guitar player. He was actually the first one to ever know about this project when we first thought of it and kind of came up with the concept of this over a year ago.
Yeah, we wanted to really give a break to music for a second, for me personally speaking, and just do some session work. But I always in the back of my head wanted to do a project, and I just didn't know what it looked like until, what was it, about September, October of 2023, that really everything kind of came into place. And that's when like NORAD was already in the picture. And then Delaney, we were really just coming into contact, and because we just knew each other over social media. And then that's the last person we had was Sean, and we interviewed him, and we were just, this is the greatest ever. And so we had our project really finalized within about a couple months. And then it was just all the background stuff. It was so fun just finalizing it. And we had Quiet Strength Design, the guys from The Protest, Josh and Jarab, really bring this project together with the logos of it, the aesthetic, which we can kind of get into if you want to explain the name of Morning Eve, Hudson.
Yeah. And also real quick to tap onto that, it was really, we just posted about this yesterday, about kind of how it came together so quickly and organically, because CJ was at kind of a crossroads because, you know, she had just got done with Relent and, you know, she was, do I want to keep trying to do session work? Do I want to try and join another band? Do I want to do a solo project? You know, it was kind of like a big question for her in her career. And we just kind of in an instant one afternoon, she just kind of was like, what if we kind of revived that band idea? She wanted to be in a band versus a solo project and kind of grow a family and a band and just a new chapter in life. And like she said, although everything came together within a couple of months, the band was pretty much fully formed within about a week and a half of us having the idea kind of rekindled again. And Sean, you know, kind of came super organically to us through a friend, and just, he lives like 5 minutes from us, and like everything.
It's so wild that we all live so close. And Delaney's about to move to Nashville too. So it's great that, you know, we don't have to all fly in from several different states to play a festival or a show, and we can really dive into being together as a team, which I really wanted to build off that as well.
Yeah, probably he's helpful for rehearsals.
100%.
Absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
That's been the hardest part is, you know, the flights and the driving.
Yeah.
But it's been okay so far.
So how did we come up with the name Morning Eve?
We were originally going to name the band.
Yeah, there's a couple different
bands. We had a couple different band names originally. The first one was Remember Me. And then I think the second one was Public Affair or Public Affairs, which that one didn't even have any meaning. We just thought it sounded kind of cool.
Yeah.
But Remember Me was more meaningful to CJ. And I just thought it sounded like a dad rock group from like the early 2000s, like a Daughtry song or something. So I was like, I don't know, it sounds cool, but maybe for like a song title or an album name or something, you know? And I was listening to a song one night called Poor Eileen by a group called Super Heaven. And I just liked the song title, Poor Eileen. I just think it was a cool name. And I just like poor somebody. And me and CJ were talking about the band name again. And I just listened to the song. And we were like, well, we want to incorporate something, a biblical aspect for people to kind of understand where we're coming from and our backgrounds, just to, you know, to spark a conversation in person. Like when she was in GFM, everybody asked what gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you know, where it stemmed from. So we knew the importance of the band name, obviously. And we started talking about the story of Eve, actually. It's like, sounds kind of cheesy, but we literally were just talking about the story of Eve and the decision of her choosing to take the apple, and, you know, what followed suit with that was obviously a huge deal. And it's not really talked about fully on how she must have felt after making a decision like that. And we were like, wow, what a big, big decision. And, you know, I'm sure she grieved that decision and struggled with it. So after hearing Poor Eileen again, that song, and talking about biblical names, I was like, well, what if we did something like Poor some biblical name? And then we're like, well, what about Poor Eve? And then we're like, yeah, that sounds bad. And then we're like, grieving of some sort. And then I came up with the name Mourning Eve. And so it's about her grieving, her decision, really.
We wanted to humanize her and humanize a lot of the biblical stories, because it's what they are. It's how we relate to our certain situations. And a lot of the writing I wanted to write about is, you know, our feelings and situations that happen to us. And sometimes we make decisions, or people have decisions that affect us, where we can't do anything about it. Like, what do we do? And so that's really was the topic of Eve. She made a decision and now everyone has to suffer from it. But, you know, how did she feel about it? And
yeah, also just, you know, struggling within decisions we make for me as well. You know, there's several different meanings to it, really, but also just making poor decisions and sometimes us having to grieve with those decisions. I mean, something we all go through, and that's really where it stemmed from. And we just knew immediately that's what we wanted the band name to be. Like, everything else didn't feel right. And then we said it out loud and we're like, this is great.
And it brings such a cool, like, early 2000s fun angst to it.
It's so metal.
Yeah,
I really liked the surface level, because we really were just talking about Eve and how we really loved that song Poor Eileen. So it sounds cool, but then the underlining factor, it humanizes it, and how we all make mistakes in our life and people do things that hurt us tremendously, and how do we deal with it, you know, what do we do? And it's a really cool, you know, icebreaker. It really describes us as people and us in the band and us trying to grow as individuals. And yeah, it's just, it has that oomph to it that I love. But it's simplistic.
Why did you feel like you needed this project?
It's just everything that I know how to do. I knew I didn't want to do a solo project because I loved playing on stage and feeling like I was sharing something with other people, and building it up together. And I didn't want to jump right back into the music industry, as GFM was such a huge part in my life. And I wanted to take some time to grieve that, but then also build back who I was again. And so I believe it was a great period in my life to take pretty much a year off of and just do, you know, guitar and singing, which is what I love. And then it just felt normal again. I felt really at peace with myself. And it was funny. We kind of saw something on Facebook. They're like, why did you keep saying the stars aligned? It's really just a saying, like, we definitely give all glory back to God, and how we 100% believe that this was his kind of sign off, because I don't believe in coincidences. And everything really fell into place. Like, I'm not being dramatic or trying to push this whole narrative, but really everything came into place for about a couple weeks. And I just felt like this was the time to really push. And I'm like, I'm ready.
What about you, Hudson? Why did you feel the need to start this band?
You know, it's funny because I originally wasn't going to be a part of it as an artist. When we first thought of it over a year ago, I really pushed it to try and help, you know, CJ and where she was at and feeling like she needed music again in some capacity and in her original, with her own music, coming up with songs that she wants to make and this new project. So I felt led originally just in the aspect of helping her and finding her sound and just writing music for fun and starting this new project. But, you know, come a year later, I felt led again also because of just how, again, organic it was. It was like we literally thought of it in one afternoon again. Like, I think it was actually recommended from my mom, had brought it up and like, hey, would you guys ever, you know, do something like that again? And if you did, you could do it this way. And we were like, whoa, like we absolutely could.
Yeah.
And then literally, gosh, we spoke to Delaney and Norad within, I think, the same night, and they were in instantly. So that's when I started to feel like, well, I think maybe we should pursue this. And then as far as playing, I could give you a sappy answer, Cindy, but it was honestly just because they needed a bass player.
It was either you or the MacBook, right?
I'm telling you. And, you know, it's funny. Goodness. It's funny because we contemplated that. So Morning Eve originally was going to be a three piece because NORAD could play just fine with guitar, obviously, and CJ could. And a lot of bands sometimes will use overhead tracks for bass. And Delaney can scream. A lot of people don't know this, but she's actually a great female screamer. So we were going to have her do drums and scream. And she was kind of just scared to do that. So we were like, understandable. She's also very high energy. So I think it would have been hard for her to drum and scream. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. That is a lot.
We wanted a front man too.
Yeah. And a fuller sound.
Yeah.
You know, just have a full band and pushing that live. So I was already doing writing and playing within the group at that point. Because it was like a couple weeks of getting things going. But then pretty much everybody was like, can you just play bass? I was like, sure. So that's kind of where it happened.
So I have to know, all the secrecy with the masks and slowly revealing what's happening, was that because NORAD wanted to remain anonymous, or was it just for hype?
It's a little of both. Like, he wants to remain anonymous, and I really loved the lore behind it. I didn't want to push it at all. I was like, hey, let's go with it. And the best way I can describe it, like, we kind of wanted a mascot-ish type, like an aesthetic that, like the cheerleading outfits. And so I wanted something fun to go with it. The whole masked aspect is we went through so many different masks, but when we came with the balaclavas and a couple other things, it just felt so
bright.
Yes, it felt right.
They won't be cold.
Oh, no, yeah. No. But can you imagine, like, uprise?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Poor NORAD. Well, we would never want to dox NORAD, but that would be the day that I would, like, say, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, originally, it goes back to the masks and the lore of it was originally because, again, it was going to be a three-piece. That was kind of the plan for about, you know, it seems like not a long time, but we were doing so much each and every day in between. But for about a week and a half of originally having the band start up, it was still just going to be a three-piece. So that's what we were planning everything around. So we originally were going to kind of do it, I guess, GFM style, where there was going to be a lot of bright colors within the original outfits and layout of the stage. Mm-hmm. And we were originally going to be planning that around the two girls, you know, being up front to where it would have been CJ and Delaney. So with NORAD, he would have just been kind of a backing character in a way. So we wanted to give him something that could bring his own umph to the table. And we thought to mask originally. So then, but he also wanted to remain anonymous, so I can say this because nobody knows him, but he's a pretty prominent figure within the industry, especially within a lot of studio work in Nashville and several different things. So he wanted to be an artist and kind of keep his identity hidden. But when I joined and Sean joined, from a stage layout standpoint as well, we wanted to still put a mask on me, even though people know who I am, just because we'll be right next to Delaney in the back and then CJ and Sean up front. So for an aesthetic reason, we wanted the mask, and also
bookends.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of just looks like punkish to me, kind of hardcore punk. They like to say we look like a Russian metal band with the masks.
Y'all are too young to remember this, but your first Demon Hunter album, Ryan and his brother pretty much did it, and they didn't want people to know that they didn't have a band yet. The first album on the back, they all have their faces covered and they're obscured on purpose.
That's smart.
Because they were like, we don't know who's in the band. You know, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw y'all.
Oh, goodness.
Because you could switch NORAD out and nobody would ever know, right?
No, exactly. Same with me.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Are you going to give us the skinny on the profile picture art with the Hebrew word?
Yeah, so it is Hebrew.
Yes.
It looked very metal, but it looked Hebrew at the same time. So I was just...
That's what we wanted. We wanted symbols.
Yeah.
That's what we originally wanted. Like, that was the original idea. Like, we wanted to have, like, a classic logo of our name and then almost have these, like, mystic-looking symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to Jareb on the phone, he kind of described it as, like, alien hieroglyphics. That was kind of the plan. And
I wanted a unique logo. I didn't want a picture or some random looking animal thing. I don't know. But I wanted a cool another biblical tie-in, because I just think it brings such a, we keep using the same thing, but it brings such a lore behind it, and people are, you know, inquisitive. You're like, well, what is this about? You know, that's a great question. Let me tell you. And so it's just another way to kind of talk about Jesus, talk about God. What do we believe? And so originally, Hudson, again, you know, if you want a great aesthetic and band logo and name and everything, ask Hudson, because he was a big person that helped with create a lot of this. But he was saying, well, what if you use the characters of the Hebrew language? And I was like, that is genius. Well, we were going to originally do Morning Eve, but it was really long. We thought, well, what about just Eve? And so if you know Hebrew language, it is Hawa. And the characters kind of look in English, like an N-I-N, but...
It looked like the Nine Inch Nails emblem.
Yes, and it also looked like a smiley face, and I didn't want anyone kind of making fun of the Hebrew language, and so Hudson was like...
She's also referred to a lot in the original as woman.
Yeah.
So it's actually woman in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. And I just thought Hebrew was such a beautiful looking... what am I saying?
Right. Like language?
Yeah, like it's characters? Not language, characters, you know?
Yeah.
I had never seen it in a logo format. Really, the inspiration, it's kind of like a deathcore emblem logo. Mm-hmm. So that was really where I went with it of, well, let's make it look like Hebrew, but kind of not. So it looks like symbols, but it is Hebrew. And, yeah,
it's interesting. And I think that it's another cool thing that ties in with the name and also brings another aspect, like this is a heavier band. A lot of people were asking, what's the genre of the band? And we were kind of going back and forth of what we should call it. But it really is just from right now and us kind of making a decision, it's like it's metalcore. And that can mean so many different things, from bands like Wage War, which is super heavy and all they do is scream, to
even Sleep Token.
Metalcore. And they barely scream, but it's all with under the same type of thing.
We're still metalcore. I would definitely say we're going to have like maybe flares of more hardcore punk than people would expect.
Mm-hmm. But have really catchy choruses, because that's what I love to do and I'm good at. So we're definitely going to have screaming, but we're definitely going to have some good singing too.
It's going to be intense. Get ready for Sean to climb the stages.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm in.
Yes. You got to get up there and jump off too.
I always tell Miss Cindy she has the stage
done. If you have an ambulance waiting. Oh, I barely stand there, much less jump from something.
Yeah, me neither.
Music. When do we get music?
Yes, I am so excited that we can officially say when our single is coming out. First, I would say we were going to announce it on Valentine's Day. I was putting in some comments on social media, but we really wanted to attack this first song and grow as musicians, specifically for me. So we're going back and forth with producers, just really fine-tuning this song. So we pushed it back a week, February 22nd, a month before the first show. So I'm so excited to really how everything's kind of planning out. So I'm so excited about this first song. We've got the artwork done. We have the name, everything. And yeah, February 22nd.
Great news. I know you're excited.
I'm so excited and nervous for it, but
I'm excited.
It sounds so good. Oh my word.
I think it perfectly showcases what we're going to be doing within the project. I don't think people are expecting what it's going to be in a good way, because there's so many different elements that we're pulling into one song, again, to showcase what we're going to do in several different songs, if that makes sense. We wanted the first one to really kind of blow people's minds.
So I am sure it will be good. Any hint as to a title, or we're not going to go that far?
We really can't even tell you, because we're in between like three.
Yeah, we don't even know right now, but
let me hear them and I'll tell you which one.
We'll keep that one a surprise.
Oh, shoot.
What would you do if our first album was called Mothership?
Dude.
It's just a picture of you with your arms crossed.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
That is funny. What else is coming, album or an EP, or are you just kind of going with the flow right now?
We're definitely going with the flow right now, but we don't want to let too much time go in between releases, because we're just kind of music heavy right now. We want to get some stuff out, so it's not going to be a huge like time between music. I know that for sure.
We would probably lean towards an EP being the first sort of thing we announce. We're going to be releasing music pretty quickly throughout this year, and probably have a big end goal by the end of the year, a little surprise something as far as that might go. But we probably won't do an album yet.
Mm-hmm. I know it's late to get on a festival, but have you had any festivals interested or any tour ideas?
We've been in contact with a few different festivals, and there's been a couple things solidified. We got our first show date solidified as well for our very first show ever, and that's going to be on March 22nd in Ocala, Florida.
Oh.
We wanted to make it where it's a big kind of hub for especially Florida bands, just where, you know, GFM was really huge, and Wage mm-hmm. War kind of was founded in O'Malley's. Day to Remember was founded in O'Malley's. And
O'Malley's is the venue.
Yeah, O'Malley's the venue. So I wanted to kind of be nostalgic for me personally, but for the band, and because we all love those bands, and play it there. And it's a huge kind of punk venue where there's like rafters, and you can have that second floor, and then you have that bottom floor where everyone just moshes. It was funny because I was there at the October show that I did personally for myself, and we had an opener that was playing Johnny Cash on with an acoustic, and people were moshing to that. So I was like, you know what? For the first show, if we don't sound good, at least we have moshers, because they don't even care.
Oh, my goodness.
I love those guys.
And also, we contemplated really hard with this band on if we wanted to push shows and festivals super heavy in the first year. Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes and no, because this first year is going to be a lot of growth within just the band and the brand.
You don't have any backlist.
Yeah, exactly. It's only been 2 weeks, but just from the 2 weeks, we are so blown away from the like feedback of everything.
We like doing covers because it allows everyone to showcase their ability to play.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also just helps us grow from when we put out original music. I have no doubt we'll play a couple festivals this year, and I also have no doubt we'll probably open for a couple bands that we have on the radar, some friends of ours. But we're going to focus mainly on writing and recording this year and growing the brand and the social medias, and start doing more stuff on YouTube, like vlogs and behind-the-scenes stuff and all of that.
Yeah, you got to build your fan base and then people want to come here.
Yes.
What you got?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Is there anything else that you want to get out there about the band?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about our live set list that we're going to be playing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's kind of been a question on everybody's mind, considering we don't have a lot of music out. And I think the answer to most is probably fairly obvious to some people, but we're going to be doing pretty much a full GFM set list for the songs. So most of the songs will be GFM, and we're going to be incorporating our new song and a few other songs that would come out before certain shows we play. But
it's going to be really cool because it's going to be our flair now. You know, we have a male screamer, so it's definitely going to sound different, but in a good way. You know, it's this kind of mature GFM because we have a lot more players now to kind of play and fill in and add the fun ear catching stuff like behind the solos, behind the choruses and the, you know, double screams because NORAD also is a screamer. So now we can harmonize screams. So it's just, there's so many different layers.
It's going to be a very big sound.
Oh yeah. We couldn't incorporate when I wasn't GFM. So
and we wanted to do that for the fans of GFM as well, because, you know, most people come into these festivals know CJ from GFM, so we felt we should still play a lot of the songs until we start to incorporate our music into it. And, you know, a lot of people still love those songs, so we want to kind of do them justice in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Lacey Sturm sings some Flyleaf and she does her own. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because people there because of Flyleaf. So, yeah, it makes sense to do some GFM.
Yes.
For sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited.
Well, I can tell you're very excited about this.
I feel like we're going 100 miles an hour, but also we're still solidifying so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I don't know if you want to get this personal, but I know you two are in a relationship. How do you think that's going to affect the band? And did you feel like that might be a problem at some point? Or
I'll take that one. It was a thought. It's kind of a weird situation because yes and no is the answer.
Right.
I thought it might affect it, but let me answer it like this. If we would have jumped right into the band when we first thought about it over a year ago, I think it would have posed some issues because the only other work I had ever done with CJ was when I was out with GFM and we were just friends. So there was nothing ever anything weird at all. And there was just nothing that would have affected us. But then jumping right into it right after GFM had disbanded, I think it would have been a difficult learning curve with us being so new in a relationship and starting a new band. It just would have been a lot. But luckily, taking that year for her to do a lot of session work, you know, I helped her do a lot of the, I guess you could say, management aspect of it, you know, reaching out to people and correlating things within festivals and within bands, et cetera. So I think that kind of allowed us to see how we work together in the industry a little bit as far as getting festivals booked, traveling, et cetera. So
it was a nice, soft transition and grow. And I mean, if you can see by example, like you brought up Lacey and her husband, and I think she wouldn't be able to do it without him and vice versa. And so
I definitely feel that as well. And we really have a healthy mindset of being able to turn on business mode and turning on relationship mode. And I think for some people that's a struggle, but when we both get into the mindset of when we're working, we're just almost two different people. I don't know how to explain that, you know, to where we don't really get in arguments when it comes to the music stuff. We really try and be a democracy and talk to each other respectfully. And, you know, we get good things going. So I don't think it'll affect it too much personally.
You guys are independent, right? You're not on a label. Are you doing the management, Hudson, or do you have someone else who's working with that? Or
yes, ma'am, I'm doing most of it as of now. And luckily nowadays, you know, we're made able to do a lot of it. You know, back in the day you needed a label. And I think we're gonna probably be independent for a good while.
You doing it at Dark Horse Studios?
Yes, ma'am. So the majority of it is being tracked at Dark Horse, but we have a few different people we're working with as far as producers go and tracking engineers. I didn't want to produce it, and Sean is also a producer and does stuff through Dark Horse. So we kind of wanted just to be artists within it, if that makes sense. And artistically, our minds would have been too all over the place with doing producing and writing and engineer work. So we've been working with a few different people. We've actually been talking with Eric, who did Operation Takeover for GFM. We've been kind of brainstorming with him, and there's a few different people that are working on the project, and it's been great.
Are you still on staff at Dark Horse Studios yourself?
I am. I just haven't been doing too many projects there as of recent, especially when I started to pick up stuff with CJ and her solo project.
Gotcha. Thank you guys for letting me interview you first.
Thank you for being the first one.
Y'all have a good night, and I hope to see you out there on the road.
Soon. Yes. You will, very soon. Woo-hoo.
Yes. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.